This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
If you take a look at the title and you think, what are we having today? Life and death. But this is where the Lord has been speaking to me about what we've got to speak about today. But before we're going to start with what I feel the Lord said to me, what I've got to bring to the congregation today, let's first pray. Father, we actually want to continue worshiping you. Just continue and sing holy, holy, holy. Because you are so great. You are so awesome. There are no words to describe you. We can try to write it down. I think they say there's more than 900 different characters and names of you in the Bible. But still they're not enough. Because we cannot. How can we, the creator of heaven and earth, who created us, try to put you into our human mind? It's impossible. And then we just have got to submit ourselves to you, that we can sing, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And we recognize you and we adore you. And Father, as what we're going to listen to, what you want to share with us this afternoon, I pray, Lord, that we can remain in that mood of worship, that we will continuously worship you, and that we will not allow any other thing to come in our mind of what we've got to eat this evening or what is going to happen this week or that interview what I've got later this week. Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that the enemy and even our own thoughts are not going to take over, but that we will be open to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us this afternoon. Thank you, Father, that we can come, that we can look up to the Father, that we can see your smile, that we can experience your presence, and that we can say, speak, your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to enter today with the life and death directly through the front door, but I'm going to come in through a side door. And I'm going to talk a little bit about fear, because there's a lot of fear in the world around us, and maybe even it is having an effect on our lives as well. And what I've done is I try to get a few of those fears together, which is all at the moment the biggest fears what they're all in the world. And as you're looking at it, maybe you can associate with one or two that you're saying, that was in my life, or that's in my life. First one is to be a failure. We think we've got to be something, but we're not really what we think we should be, and it's a failure. And it can sometimes be very depressing because we're not being what we would like to be, what God wants us to be. I had to get used to that abbreviation FOMO, fear of missing out. That's also the case. You're invited to two places. Now you've got to decide which one are you going to, where are you going to miss out the most. And that's the one where you're going to. Fear of missing out. To be rejected. It's happening so many times that you think you've got a good relation with somebody, but you find out afterwards they had a party on the weekend and you were not invited, and you feel rejected. Or your father or your mother is not communicating with you and you're feeling rejected, or somebody at work or in your family. Also fear for changes and uncertainties. Now, if there's one thing what we have had over the last 2 years, then it was changes. It changed each and every week with each and every news conference. They changed. The statistic changed, but also the rules and regulations changed, and we were not certain anymore of what is actually happening. You cannot plan 2 or 3 months in advance because you don't know what the rules and regulations are going to be at that time. And that's a lot of fear which has been put on us and what we've seen in the world as well. And then the last one which I've added, but I think we can carry on with the whole afternoon with all of them, but just a few to start our minds that we can start thinking about it, is to be hurt, that something is going to happen to you. In an accident, or maybe the worst what can happen, that you're going to die. And when somebody said to me that 2 weeks ago, it's maybe that you're going to die. I said, I wouldn't mind, because I know I'm going to heaven. I actually wouldn't mind to die, because then I know it's going to be perfect, because God is perfect and it's going to be there. But all of them are my focused. It's all of them, it's about myself. How is it affecting my life? Now, if we've got a fears on one side, and then the fears, we can add some other words with it, the uncertainty, the anxiety on the one side, then on the other side, we've got faith. We've got trust. We've got a calmness. We've got confidence. And those two are opposing each other. So we've got the fear side and we've got the faith side. And those two are opposite each other. In a normal world, we see so many times as well, there are things are oppositing each other. Black and white, warm and cold, and so on and so on. And I can carry on again the whole afternoon. But in the Bible, we also get it that it's opposite. Light and darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And light, what we see in the Bible as well, is the presence of God. And this is where I'm coming to the other one, which we find in the Bible, where we're going to talk about this afternoon. It's life and death. It's very opposing, life and death. But there's nothing in between. It's the one or the other. Because sometimes you will say an expression, half dead. Or you're dead, or you're alive. One of the two. There's nothing in between. First verse, what I would like to read, is the one which is coming out of Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verses 28, which is about the life and the death. And it says there, in the way of righteousness in life, in the way of righteousness in life, if we're walking in a right relationship with God, there's life. And in its pathway, there is no death. If we're walking in the correct way with the Lord, then there's no death. There's life. There's eternal life with Him. But what we see in the Bible as well is that it's not life and death, but it's life or death. It's that we've got to make a choice. We've got to make a choice if we're going to be following life and be in a righteous relationship with God, or if we are going to unfortunately go the death way because we prefer our own way of thinking instead of God. Moses was speaking about it, and you maybe say, oh, this guy, this thousands and years of back and all that. No, what you write is still applicable today. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and then the last one is Deuteronomy. And then the last few chapters, you can see a certain progress, how he is going through those books. If we take a look at chapter 29, it's about the renewal of the covenant, what God made with Israel. Then in chapter 30, where we're going to read a few verses from just now, he's talking about you've got to make a choice between life and death. He's speaking to the people from Israel. The next chapter, it's talking about that Joshua is going to take over from him. The second last chapter, the next chapter is about the song of Moses. This guy, one way or the other, he made songs. When he crossed the Red Sea as well, he was also singing. And here he is singing again, just before he is leaving the people from Israel and before he was going to die. Then Moses is blessing Israel, and then we've got the death of Moses. We see here again, it is so important to have a look at the last words, what a person has been saying. Because all of us know the last words what Jesus has been saying when he went before he was ascended. Go and tell. It's exactly what Moses over here. He's telling the Israelites, guys, choose life or death. Make that choice and make the right choice. Verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. He's talking about it. He's explaining it to them. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So if you're going to do what God is telling you to do, he's going to bless you. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and you're drawn away and you worship other gods and serve them, you don't serve God, but you serve idols and other gods, I announce to you today that you surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and to possess. He's talking and he's explaining it to them how important it is that they've got to follow God. He spent 40 years with them in the desert over there, and he knows what is happening over there, but he's explaining it to them. Make the right choice. And then verse 19, which is a beautiful one. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, because God is involved in this choice. I call heaven and earth as witness to you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. This is a beautiful verse. And he's basically telling them now, guys, I told you, life or death. Make the right choice. And I'm calling heaven and earth as witness that I've told you. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, that you may hold on to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give them. He's telling them, make the right choice. Jesus also, exactly the same in John, also told them, make the right choice. In John 5, verses 24, he's saying over there, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my voice and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Again, life and death, where Jesus is talking about, make that right decision. He's repeating more or less the same as what Moses has been saying. And you shall not come into judgment. Now, the Greek word for judgment is crisis. Crisis we've got in the Dutch, and crisis we also have got in the English language. So, and you shall not come into a crisis, but has passed from death into life. That you're not going to come into an accusation or into a condemnation, but that you are going to be passing from death to life. That you're not going to be on your own, but that you're going to be with Jesus. He repeats it again in John 11, verse 25 and 27. And Jesus said to her, and this is Martha. Jesus is now going to Mary and Martha because Lazarus died. And most of the time we remember Martha when Jesus was speaking to Mary, and Mary was sitting at his feet and Martha was busy in the kitchen. But now Martha is coming to him and he's speaking to Jesus because Jesus was on his way to the funeral of Lazarus. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And we say, okay, how is that possible? You may die and you live. Yes, you're going to die. You're going to come at your end of life every year. But your spiritual life is going to continue. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The beautiful thing of this is that whoever lives, whoever has got a spiritual life and believes in me, there's more in it. As what Renee just now said, the word belong. It's not an in, but it's an in too. You're basically part of it. You are united with Christ. And whoever lives and is united in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's a very straightforward question what Jesus is asking Martha over there. Do you believe this, what I'm saying now? And Martha says to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And it's very beautiful that he could react like that, because we also have got to make that choice. We also have got to make that choice between life and death. But making choices is sometimes for us a little bit difficult. Sometimes we make a choice by just accepting or assuming that it is correct. We just now saw that the e-group that we're going to start in Nijmegen, we prayed about it, and God revealed it to us. This is the way why we've got to start it. But if I'm taking Urbanus, if Urbanus comes to me and he says he wants to start a church in Amsterdam, then all of us will most probably say, well done, Urbanus, go and start a church in Amsterdam. No, because we assume it's good because he's going to start a church, he's going to start a shofar church in Amsterdam. No, it doesn't work like that. We've got to hear from God. If we're going to make a choice, if we're making the right choice or not, I'm not talking about the choice of life and death. That is something, that's one choice what we make, but other choices on a daily basis. The example what I want to do is the assumption which our friend David made. I'm reading out of 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 to 3 first. Now it came to pass, when David was dwelling in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of God is under the tent curtains. Basically saying, I want to build a house for God. Now all of us would say, it's a good plan. Start, just give us a drawing and see how much you need and then go for it. Build a temple for God. It sounds 100%. And then Nathan said to David, do all that it is in your heart, for God is with you. So he also says, sounds good, awesome. Go and do that. Build a temple for God. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. God is overruling now. So the plan what David had, he assumed it can be done. God says, no, it's not according to my plan. David most probably didn't pray about it. He thought it's a good idea. It's the same with Urbanus. If Urbanus tells us, I prayed about it and this was God has revealed to me, then it's a different story. David didn't pray about it. At least it's not written over here. He assumed it's good. Sounds good. Build a temple for God. And then God, as God is speaking to Nathan, he tells things. Things like, for instance, I took David as a shepherd and I made him a king. That's quite a promotion what David got over there. I don't think that any one of us over here in our lives ever got that type of promotion from a shepherd to a king. And he says, I made your name great. I subdued your enemy. And God is going for the one and the other one and the other one. According to, and that is verse 15, according to all these words and according to all these this vision, so said Nathan the prophet then to David. That's why God says, you're not going to build. But then what is David doing? Then David went and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord? And what is in my house that you have brought me this far? So he's not going to say, okay, then I'm not going to build. But he's going to see God's face. He couldn't go to the temple because there wasn't a temple. So he had to go to the tent and he had to see God's face. And he had to say, but God, what I wanted to do, sound good. Now you're overruling it. What exactly do you want me to do? And he was seeking God's face. He said, what do you want me to do? But it's not a matter of that he just comes and that he says to God, okay, tell me now, why can I not build? But he's really giving honor to God. There are a few of those verses over there. I'll take out one or two. Then you can hear a little bit of what he's saying. And he said, O Lord, there's none like you. Nor is there any God besides you, according to all what we've heard from our ears. And a little bit later he says, and now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning this his house, let it be established forever and do as what you've said. He's submitting. He's submitting to God's plan. He said, Lord, if you do not want me to build a house, but if you say that my son is going to build a house, I'm happy with that. It's your plan. I submit to that. And this is something what we've got to keep in mind, which could happen in our own lives as well, that we've got a plan which sounds fantastic because it fits into what we think it's a godly plan. But it can be that God is going to overrule it, that he's going to say no. First seek my face. First come and ask me, is this correct what I'm going to do or is it not correct? When I was praying for this sermon, God gave me a psalm, Psalm 38, verses 6. Now, Psalm 38 has got basically three parts. The first part is about the wicked guy. He's laying on his bed and he has got ideas and he's making all those plans what he's got. And then a little bit later, it's about the divine goodness of God. And where it says in verse 7 as well, it's not on the screen. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of your wings. And then I want to read 8 and 9, which the Lord gave to me. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasure. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. God is the fountain of life. He refreshes us. He sustains us with the things what he's giving to us. And in your light, we see light. God is light. God is life. And this is what we see when we're going to have a look at God, that he is life and that he is light. That brought me with the one verse which is there in 1 Peter 2, verses 9. It's also talking about light. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are a chosen generation. You who have chosen life. Or a chosen generation. And that is applicable to all of us. That God is saying to us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. From the Old Testament, we knew that the Levites were only the priest. But God is saying over here, we are the priest as well. We are the priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And that the thing where I just want to elaborate a little bit more on, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. That we can share it with other people. That we can proclaim it. Now, proclaiming you're not doing inside a room. Proclaiming you do it that the people can hear it. That you can share it with the other people. That you can say, this is God who called me out of the darkness into his marvelous light. The God who took me out of the darkness, out of death, into life. This is the God what I want to praise and I want to call it out. We're going to have that opportunity to start with it on the 28th of January. It's going to be a praise and worship evening what we're going to have, but it's going to be a place where together with other churches in Utrecht, we're going to seek the Holy Spirit for our relationship with God and building on that. We're going to, with Tom, out of that group, we're going to go into Utrecht and we're going to evangelize. It was a few weeks ago when, I think it was Derek who was preaching over here, when he asked the people, those who have got a heart for Utrecht, come forward. And then they came forward and they were standing over here. I could see it on the Facebook live stream. I could see it. This is the place, if you raised your hand and if you came forward and you said, but Utrecht is my heart, I've got a heart for Utrecht, that people are getting saved, then come on the 28th of January and praise and worship God along with the others in Utrecht who've got the same heart, that people can be saved over here, that we can proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I want to finish off with the two things where we've been talking about, the fear and the choices. Because we're sometimes so busy with fear things that we forget to make the right choices. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7, is telling us a little bit about that fear, where Paul is writing to Timothy and where he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, that we should be timid, that we should be cowardless, that we should be afraid of what the other people are saying around us. But we've got one spirit of power, of the Holy Spirit, of love, which is fruit of the Holy Spirit, and of a sound mind." And a sound mind means that we've got self-control, that we've got a discipline. And if we've got that self-control and a discipline, we're going to show it in our behavior. We're going to be purity, and there's going to be honesty. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we must be trying to get rid of, and we will pray about it just now, about that fear which is keeping us busy. Because if we're busy with the fear, then we also cannot be used for God's kingdom to do what God wants us to do. And the last verse, what I want to read is about the choices again. We're in Romans 8, verses 6. Now, Romans 8, a lot of times, has been seen as the Holy Spirit chapter from Paul, from the one who wrote Romans. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And if we're going to be carnally minded, then it's just about us. It's just about our body. The soul and the spirit are not included in it. If we're going to be minded like that, death is going to be our foreland. But if we're going to be focused, spiritually minded, then life and peace is going to be what we're going to receive. Maybe it sounds a little bit strange what you've been hearing this afternoon about life and death, that you say, it nearly sounds that some people who are evangelizing, they say turn or burn. It's not like that, but it's the most important decision what we've got to make in our lives, that we're going to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I want to have eternal life. I do not want to be death. I do not want, because death means the absence of God. That's not where I want to be. I want to be at the place where the presence of God is going to be experienced. We're going to pray now, and in my prayer, I'm going to do invites as well, and I'm going to ask you if it is applicable to you that you've got the freedom to raise your hand and that we can pray for the things of what I'm going to pray for. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are a God of life, that you're a God of light. And this afternoon you're telling us again, you're explaining us again. And Jesus has done it and Moses has done it. We've got to choose life. Because life is with you, Father. And then we are going to have eternal life. Because you are a God, an eternal God. And Father, it could be that there are maybe people sitting in over here, or there may be people watching at the moment who say, but I've never made that decision in my life. I've always been by default, I've been in the death part. But I know I've got to make that decision. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you this afternoon, and you say, but this afternoon I've got to make that choice. I've got to make that life choice. I've got to make that choice to follow Jesus. And you want to make that choice this afternoon, and you want to pray along with us, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. If you want to make that choice this afternoon, that life choice to follow Jesus, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. Father, in the beginning of the sermon, we were talking about fears, of the faith what we should have in you, but that we see that there is fear what we see in the world, but sometimes it's creeping in our lives as well. And again, as all eyes are closed, if there were some of those fears which were applicable to you, that you said, yes, I've got that fear which is in my life. I've got that fear which is eating from me. I've got that fear which is making it difficult for me to live. And you want to get rid of that fear and you want to pray along with us. And I'm asking a bold thing of you, just to raise your hand, that you can say, yes, there is fear in my life and I want to get rid of that fear. Father, you see those hands. And Father, I'm going to pray for all of us. And I want to start with confessing and say, Lord, there's a fear in our lives which doesn't belong over there. And Father, I pray that this fear, and now I'm giving time that in your mind you can just mention that fear to God. You can say, this is the fear which is in my life at the moment. That we can pray that God is going to take that fear away. Father, I pray that that fear which just now has been spoken out, which just now has been revealed to you, which fear there is in their lives, where it has been repented of, that this fear is now broken in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can bind that fear and that we can send it away. That it has been repented of, Father, and that it hasn't got any right to steal any longer, and that we can send it under Jesus' feet. That fear, and whichever fear it is, your time is over. You're not going to steal, kill, or destroy any longer in our lives. I'm sending you under Jesus' feet. And Father, I thank you for the freedom that you give. And I pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can be what you want us to be, and that this fear is not going to crumple us, that it's not going to hold us back, that we can be what you want us to be, that we can live it out, and that we can shout it out, that we can proclaim it, and that we can praise you, because you called us out of the darkness into marvelous light. We do not want to be death of death. We want to be alive. Alive with you, Lord, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.